Hey, hey, folks, I got a question for you. What's your favorite time of the year? Is it winter, spring, summer, fall? Maybe it's all four seasons, but what is it that you like about it? Is it the beauty, the warmth, the cool, crisp, fresh air, what you can see and hear all around you? Can you imagine if you lost your sight and you could not see any of that? Would you fall into depression? What would you do? What would be going through your mind? Well, today's guest, Elizabeth or Beth Pizzarello, and forgive me if I'm pronouncing it incorrectly, but that happened to her. She was born sighted and she had vision 100% for 38 years. And then one day she went blind. So she's going to talk to us about her experience of going blind, going from a sighted person to being legally blind. She also has a book out called Eclipse, My Journey into Blindness and the Miraculous Surgery that Restored My Sight Decades Later. So yeah, there is a little bit about technology in this too. But her book and our conversation today is really to get you to not give up on anything, irregardless of whether it's sight, taste, smell, whatever your senses are, or just any personal struggles that you might be going through. It's really a mindset, and you're going to hear her talk about the mindset that helped her really go through this difficult time. So, you know, please sit back, relax, and enjoy. But before you do that, if you are a pet owner, please remember to have your pets spayed or neutered. And also, please remember to like, share, follow, and comment this podcast and all podcasts on Amazing People, Amazing Things. All right, so now let's get into it. Let's go.
I have one eye that's totally blind. And what it is, it's a traveler. So it indiscriminately, because when you can't see, you can't control the muscle. And so what it does is it travels around. And I find that a lot of times when I'm talking and people see this eye moving, they kind of trace that eye. So that's why I wear the dark glasses, because sometimes I find it distracting. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how you would feel about that, but I know in my previous experience, my eye doesn't get the memo. It's got to keep looking straight. That's the problem. See, but I have 20% in my good eye. That's all I got back.
My goodness.
So I'm still considered legally blind, you know, because I have no periphery. Mm-hmm. I only have a little bit of the center, and that's because of that miraculous implant. Very quickly, the implant is so new in that, you know, your eye has a groove that holds your lens in place. That's why you can do cataract surgery. What they were able to do, because my groove was totally damaged from a viral infection that I didn't know I had. So what they have been able to do was to hang this lens in my right eye with capsulary hooks, little hooks like the mirror on the wall. Wow. I'm one of the first people who's ever had that happen. So I went from a totally blind state of affairs, and I was living a blind life for over 12 years. And then all of a sudden, this lens was created, and I was an ideal candidate, and I tried because I had nothing to lose. I was totally blind at that point. So that's the good news about technology.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of good stuff with technology. Let's backtrack a little bit, because you were born a sighted person. You had vision. You could see.
Yes.
But now the viral infection you're talking about, is that part of that genetic disorder that you had, the retinitis, pigmentosa?
No. What happened was, when 2 weeks before I was graduating college, I had gone to a party and I wiped out a whole desk full of drinks because everybody was celebrating graduation. So I thought I had some eye strain, went to my eye doctor, and he sent me to Philadelphia to check it out. He saw something strange going on, but he said, don't worry about it. So I go in to this specialist in Philadelphia, and he said to me, did you know you're losing sight? And I said, well, no, I have eye strain. You know, I'm doing 2 degrees. I'm getting a degree in biology and a degree in business. He said, no, you're losing vision. Let's check it out. Well, he came back, and that was in the day when they didn't have a lot of bedside manner. And he came in and he said to me, Elizabeth, I have to tell you that you're going blind. And I was like, what? When is this going to happen? You know, I was like stunned. I go, look, doctor, I'm graduating in 2 weeks. You know, I have 2 degrees. I mean, when is this supposed to happen? I'm here just for some eye drops. And he said, well, the way things are progressing right now, you have this thing called retinitis pigmentosa, and we estimate you will be blind by 40. Well, that occurred, but it occurred a little bit in an accelerated rate. I was totally blind by 38. And that was a shocker, I will say to you, because, you know, 2 weeks until graduation, you're on top of the world. And all of a sudden, somebody has pulled the rug out from under you. Yeah. What are you going to do?
So let me ask you that. Just that is, what is it that you did and what ran through your head? And then maybe that day when you woke up and you were in darkness, I mean, what were your emotions like?
I think that in my situation, when I found out that I was going blind, could not believe it. A matter of fact, I had gone to the eye doctor with my father. I didn't even confess that that's what the doctor told me. When I came out from the appointment, he said, well, what happened? Did you get some eye drops? And I said, well, Dad, not today. I have a little thing going on, and it'll have to take its course. You have to get me back to school because you have to get ready for graduation. So what happened was I went at first into total denial. And for many years, I would never tell people I was going blind. I couldn't read, for example, a menu in a restaurant, but I didn't tell people I couldn't read. I just said, you know, I have a little bit of a sight problem. But going blind is bigger than a little bit of a sight problem. Mm-hmm. And my big awakening moment was when I actually heard myself say to myself, Beth Pizzarello, you are going blind. No skirting around. And yeah, that was one of the hardest moments in my life, because that was really coming to terms with what the real deal was. And that's where everything started to change. Because when I started to embrace my blindness and pivot with the change, you know, denying it and making was not going to make it go away. But adapting and changing was giving me a life back, because I had experienced just in complete denial. But the problem with that idea was, Chuck, that the world kept going and I was being left behind. So I had to make a decision whether, yeah, it was going to be really, really tough, but I had to get on board if I wanted that life that everybody else was enjoying. There was no target on my back, and I felt that way for a long time. You know, that why me? Why me? Well, one day my mother said to me, you know, why not you? You're a human being. You, somebody else, but the difference is how you deal with it. And that's really what made the big difference. And it started to evolve where I was able to get my life back. I was able to go to the Lighthouse for the Blind when I reached that threshold, learned how to do things as a blind woman, cross the street when you can't see cars. Try that out.
Yeah, let me add this in there, because like you said, it's part of a mindset change that you have to accept it and you have to realize and you have to come to terms with it. And that's what I think a lot of people have a hard time. If something is going to happen, like you said, first you're in denial. We all deny so much. But then if you don't come to terms with it relatively quick, it can eat you alive, I think, and really put you in that spiral of depression. Now, were you ever, or did you go into that state of depression, or were you so strong-willed that you said, you know what, I'm going to deal with this?
Nope, I crumbled like a piece of paper. I just crumbled because it came out of nowhere. But I think that, and I was sad for so long and mad. I was mad at the doctor that was telling me, giving me this news. I was mad at myself that I'd spent all these years studying for 2 degrees. For what? For nothing? Because who was going to hire a blind scientist? Nobody. Who was going to hire a blind accountant? Nobody. Where was I going to fit in? And when I got to that point, and I tell people, when I got to the point where my confidence and belief in my ability to cope spiraled out of control with my inability to see hope for something greater to happen in the future, it paralyzed me. That really handicapped me long before I even went blind, because I was stuck, because I was just asking myself the same question. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? It was almost like a little robot. You know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? It was a bad refrain that I kept playing in my brain with no answer. But the bad thing about having no answer and being mad, including mad at God, because I kept thinking about all those kids, you know, when you're growing up, where your mother would say, don't run with a stick in your hand, don't throw rocks, you can blind somebody. There were kids doing that, and they never went blind. And I was the girl that followed the rules, you know, and I was going blind. And I have to say, from a spiritual level, that was a really big gulp to take. So I went through all that sadness, but you know what? It was for nothing, because the world kept going. And that's where you have to kind of make a decision, like in my case, to go with it, at least, you know, pivot with it, because that was not going to go away. I was going blind. There was nothing changing that at this moment. And even though it was the hardest thing I could ever have done, it was so necessary for me to at least get some sort of life. You know, I was never going to have the same life as I had with my vision. But that didn't mean that blindness had to define who I was. Because I was more than Beth Pizzarello, blind person. I was a lot of other things too.
Yeah, I think one of the things that comes to mind to probably a lot of folks is, I wonder if it's better or worse, or what is it like to have been a sighted person for 38 years and then to go blind, versus I was born blind or I went blind as a child? Because you already had a life that you'd already started. You already had dreams that you could, you know, see and vision. You've already seen what the world has to offer, but there's so much more, and now your vision is gone. So have you ever thought about that? It's after you come to terms, saying to yourself, I'm glad I had those 38 years that I got to see and experience things.
I think that that's where the gratitude came in. But also, I think I had to change my mindset totally. For example, a lot of people believe, like, when you go blind, another sense jumps in. You know, oh, your hearing must have instantly magnified. But you know what? That's not the way it is. The only way for me I could start using my hearing as my primary sense to help me cross the street, because it's all based on hearing, and do a lot of other things, you had to, for me, accept that I could no longer trust my eyes to tell me what was going on. I had to now rely on my hearing as my primary sense. And until you're willing to mindset, and it takes a lot of change, because I'll tell you, when you're sighted and you've crossed the street a million times with your sight and your sight's gone, now a teacher tells you, stand on a street corner, listen for the sound of the traffic patterns, people walking, you have to count and all this. And you're thinking, how am I going to do this? I'm going to get killed. But you know what? When you get to that moment where you say, okay, my hearing is what I have to rely on, I have to rely on this. I'm not going to try to pretend I can try to see cars, because many people do. Let me just see what I can see. When you eliminate that, then your hearing is 100% the greatest thing that can ever happen to you as far as a tool. I mean, your hearing is then your life. And yeah, there are many blind people who have wondrous lives. And I've met a lot of them. They've given me great advice that I can even carry as a sighted person. And one of the greatest gifts, and I'll share with you, is the power of words. And the power of words, not only in what you say to other people, but what you tell yourself. Because mm-hmm. what you say to yourself about what you can and cannot do, you really pretty much fulfill that prophecy for yourself. And I think that that was one of the most empowering things I learned from a whole bunch of blind people who said, you know, try, learn the skills, but go forward, because you can have a life that's just enjoyable. And they had a life just enjoyable as I did. It was, you know, very different. Yeah. But very different, but you know what? They laughed, they had fun. I remember a blind woman telling me, you know, Elizabeth, I never saw anything, but you and I, when we went to grade school, I was learning the alphabet. I learned it in Braille. You learned how to read it with your eyes. She said, carry that idea forward. You liked cartoons, you liked the Roadrunner and all that. And I said, yes, I did. She said, you like to watch it. I could make those pictures in my brain. Nobody had to draw them for me. So she says, I see the same cartoon, just differently. And she said, you embrace your blindness or anything that ails you. You will see the magic in your situation. And she was very, very right about that.
There's a couple things that, out of everything you're talking about, is one is about... you know, really negativity. And if you tell yourself things that are negative or believe things that are negative, that's bound to happen, or that's how you're going to perceive yourself. And the biggest culprit of that is oneself, yourself. The world has a lot of negativity, but we are the ones that bombard ourselves just as much with that negativity, and we begin to believe it. The other thing too is, you're talking about the outside world being blind and walking around. It's just as difficult, and I think you can agree with me on this, as being blind and in your own home or your own surroundings. And you're thinking, you know, for the sighted folks right now, try closing your eyes and walking around your house. It's hard. You end up cheating. You end up peeking. Well, if you're blind, you can't do that. And, you know, like you were saying early on, it's a total mindset change, and you really have to accept it and embrace that situation.
And I think that's with anything that is ailing you. You have to, mm-hmm. at some point, come to terms with it, because the world keeps going on. And with me, I was losing a lot of opportunity for happiness, to find my greatness, make my footprint in this world, because I was so busy concentrating on what I was losing. And you know what? I gained a lot more when I gave that whole idea up. I gained a lot. And you know, I look at it now and I say, I am so grateful that I was able to embrace my blindness. Because wouldn't it have been the biggest practical joke to get your sight back after all those years and you were miserable? I mean, I could have literally been miserable the whole 12 years. Because technologically speaking, this day would have come, you know? So that would have meant I wasted 12 years of life that I could have enjoyed, done things to better the world, better myself. I would have lost that opportunity, sitting in a chair feeling sorry for myself. And technology this day would have happened.
Yeah. Well, this day one of the things that I think probably wonderful is that you put this in a book for people to read and to understand what you went through, to help them if there's anything that's pending that may happen to them. Can you tell us about your book, your title, where they could find your book, and did it help you with any type of depression or anything like that while you're having this, putting this book together?
You can find my book. It's called Eclipsed on Amazon, and the title is called Eclipsed because that's the way I lost my vision. I had full vision, and it started going slowly and in plateaus, and then finally, with the miraculous surgery with the implant, got the light back. And so that's what Eclipsed is about. And what I'm trying to have people take away from my story is that a lot of people say, oh, you had to be brave to do all of this. You seem so brave. No, I'm not. I will say to everybody, to face what's ailing you, your challenges, you don't have to be the bravest person. When I was blind, I was never going to ski the Alps. And when I got my sight back, I was never going to go skydiving. But that did not mean I didn't have the strength within me to at least look at what was ailing me, what I needed to confront, and be truthful with myself. And I think when they say truth will set you free, that's for sure. You can find happiness amidst the turmoil. You know, you just have to switch and change with what life is dealing out to you. But otherwise, you also limit yourself from having wonderful experience in spite of what is happening to you. And that's my story. You can find happiness amidst tragedy. And you can find yourself and inspire others who are feeling that same way. My thing was, I only want to inspire people. Look, I get it. But you know, there reaches a point where you can be stuck forever. And what kind of life is that for you anyway? So maybe explore your opportunities that might be a little bit different than you think. But you know what? It's worth it. It is so worth it. And that's what my story is about. You don't have to be the bravest cat on the block. You just have to be somebody who's willing to take a chance on yourself. Yeah. Hey, that's pretty cool.
You know, I hope this doesn't come across as sounding negative, but this also means for the people who are, we'll say, 100% okay right now, today, but you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So the old saying goes, live every day like it's your last one. Live it to 100%. Just do everything you can. Enjoy life right now.
For sure. My implant, there's no guarantees how long it's going to last. We're on the 11th year anniversary, and I have a lot of problems with the implant. But like you say, I'm grateful every day. I look, I can see things. I can see trees. I can see myself. I can see little weeds in the sidewalk, because you know, when you could not see them, you wished you could have. So this time around, I say this to everybody, appreciate what you have. Take a minute, look around and see because that could all be could be gone. So it's with anything else, you know, love your family, appreciate that you have each other, because you never know. And I was a big learning experience for me with this site. You know, life is very fragile, like you say, Chuck. So appreciate the moment, the now, and what you have. And I think sometimes we want to live for, well, I'll go and visit you when, you know, things settle down. Well, I've had some friends who've said to me that when things settle down, they're going to visit. They never visited with me, and some of them have now passed away. So things are pretty settled down, if you know what I mean. So I'm just saying to you, don't miss the opportunity to enjoy your moment. And that's what my story is about.
I'm going to say right now, before we close out, this has really been encouraging, just listening to you. And, you know, I'm seeing your smile. I'm hearing your voice. And You are like a spokesperson for don't let yourself be down. I do have one other question for you.
Sure.
What do you have in store for your life today, in the next couple of years? Do you have any plans of things that you're going to do?
Right, a whole bunch of things. Right now, I'm out doing some public speaking to try to encourage people to find the greatness in themselves. You know, I've heard a lot of tragic stories and given people a different way to look at it. I'm also in the process, I've written some children's stories that are about having empathy, having a different way to look at life when things that are frightening kind of hit you. I have this monkey named Sprocket in a wheelchair. This monkey finds his greatness in the wheelchair. And I think that that's what my next endeavor is. But right now, what I'm trying to do, a lot of people are suffering from macular degeneration. That's the number one reason that especially baby boomers are losing sight. And I want to let them know about a different way to look at your life, you know, because it is very hard, especially when you've had, now you're talking about people who've had their sight over 50 years or 60 years and you can't play golf or you can't play cards. And what are you going to do? Well, I can tell you a whole bunch of things that you can do that are different from what you used to do. And I think that you can find that spark wherever you're at. And right now I'm trying to encourage young people, you know. They tell me these horrific stories about social media. And, you know, I hear them and I say to them, you know, one of the things I can say as a greatness about when I was blind is, blind people are not superficial like that. We can't see a zit on your face. We can't see if you are missing a limb or whatever. So we are not into that. And I was very grateful to experience that. So I tell, you know, younger people, your greatness is within you. And you only, people only see it when you choose to show it. And I'm finding that a lot of younger people are, I'm trying to tell them about finding the greatness in themselves. Especially kids that are going to college, you know, I'm not smart enough, I'm not pretty enough. All of these things, and I'm like, wow, you just don't see what I see. And if you see what I see, holy macaroni, you have no idea what greatness you have. So explore it. And I think that that's what I feel I'm on this earth with, going blind, my whole story, this whole thing, this whole evolution that came to be, was that I can tell a story to people who are there. You know, when I was in college, I know what it's like when they tell you, you know, things aren't going to happen the way you think. And it's traumatic, you know, in your 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever. And so I'm just trying to bring out a spark of hope to people. I'm only a John Q. Public kind of person, just like anybody else, and trying to say, look, you know, you too can have a fabulous life in spite of it, because it's all in here. You know, you're my, I got to a point where I say I'm more than two eyes. You're more than whatever ails you, because there's a lot of other stuff inside of you that you maybe even haven't explored. So that's what I want to do, is just go out there and do podcasts like you have, that try to share a positive message for people who are not having a positive moment. You know, bad things happen to good people, but good things happen to good people too. That's what I tell people. You know, there's two sides to this life. So don't eliminate one because you feel your life is all about the other. I know I lived 5 years. I'm just telling you, I'm trying to help you. Cut to the chase, man. It's not worth it. And there's a lot of greatness that you can have for yourself.
Well, I want to say thank you for the encouragement from you to me and from you to all the listeners and viewers. So thank you very, very much. And I've enjoyed today. Like I said, you have given me encouragement to really live life to the fullest. We all try that, but we need reminding. And thank you for the reminder.
It was such a pleasure to talk to you and share my story with you and share it with your listeners and maybe help somebody else who's experiencing this. Yeah. And please, I welcome anybody to, please, you can find me. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm everywhere on social media. If you have a thought or a concern or you're losing sight or losing hope, give me a message. I'll respond to you. You know, I'm not a doctor. I'm going to tell you, I'm not a doctor. I'm not any of that. But I'm just an inspirationalist. I want to inspire you to find your greatness. So I appreciate your time, Chuck. You've been a pleasure.
Elizabeth, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.